understand that life happens, and sometimes you need a little financial boost. That's why at C-Plant Federal Credit Union, we offer low-rate loans tailored to your needs. Whether it's a car loan, a personal loan, or anything in between, we've got you covered. Learn more at cplant.com or visit any of C-Plant Federal Credit Union's 9 local branches. Member NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to another program. I apologize right off the bat for being a little stopped up this morning. All this heat and humidity seems to be kind of taking a bit of a toll. I've been out in it for the last few days, and I've got some news to bring from football. 7-on-7 start, Rocket football. The cupboard is not empty. I went to the 7-on-7 scrimmages in Evansville over the weekend, and boy, it was hot up there, and the guys had a long day, but I'll give you a little information on that here in a bit when we talk some sports. First of all, I want to talk about the Cave and Rock Ferry and give you some updates there. We're also, with our interview this morning, going to go across the river and hear from one of Hardin County's tourism directors, as well as the individual in charge of the Fluorspar Festival, which will be coming up this fall. And she will discuss how this ferry closing affects commerce and tourism across the Ohio River with the two neighboring counties here. First of all, let's touch on some local news. The Crittenden County Fiscal Court met this past week on Thursday during its regular session, and it looks pretty bleak on the financial side, to be quite frank. I don't know that I've ever seen the county in such financial straits. The jail continues to take a toll on the general fund as the county's moving more money out of just this general spending pot, if you will, the general fund, over to the jail because inmate numbers continue to fall there. And then in the road department, if you follow county government news, you will know that a FEMA payment for a lot of work that was done during some storms back a few months ago has yet to come in and is creating some hardships on the road department finances. So the county's had to move some more money over from the general fund into the road department, and typically state money pays for the road department. It's funding that comes from the state. It's based on fuel tax that is collected and then reimbursed across the state to the counties to maintain roads and highways, and that money is coming up short. So I've got a report on that in this week's Crittenden Press. Also, another story we're following for the newspaper this week is the Crittenden County Economic Development Corporation. As most of you know, if you follow this kind of stuff, that the Economic Development Corporation back many years ago purchased the property that was once the Tyson chicken growing operation out on the northeast side of town. And if you recall, it was actually taken to court, and the smells that were being emitted from the chicken broiler operation were trespassing, the court found, over into Greenwood Heights and other areas. And eventually Tyson Foods moved its chicken growing operation away from that area, and then the Economic Development Corporation ended up buying that property out there, and it was around 100 acres, something akin to that. Can't remember right off the top of my head, but nonetheless, they took out an economic development loan from the state to pay that off, and it was about $300,000. It's taken a long time to pay all that off. The land was originally set aside to promote and recruit industry As it turns out, the tenants ended up being the highway department's maintenance garage and the city of Marion's sewer plant, the wastewater treatment plant. And last few weeks, Riley, the corporation, the Rileys that had the livestock market there, which they are based out of Mayfield, they own a Ledbetter livestock market as well. They have purchased some more of that property back there that belonged to the Economic Development Corporation, and that has been rezoned as agriculture, and they're going to expand their operations on that property. So the news is that the Economic Development Corporation, after over 20 years, is now debt-free. And of course, the operations of the economic development recruitment, any of those efforts now largely fall with the Lake Barkley Partnership, for which Crittenden County is a member. It's a multi-county, involves Lyon County, Caldwell County, Livingston County. And that is the mechanism for recruiting and retaining industry in this region now. So the Crittenden County Economic Development Corporation will see, it may even cease to begin to exist. Nonetheless, that's in the news this week. Also, a national storyline that we've been following is the chance that daylight saving time may be here to stay. I don't know if you follow that. It's interesting concept. It's been talked about for quite a while. Now that it has been passed by one chamber of the federal government, it looks like folks are getting serious about it, and the airports have stepped in now saying that, hey, this is going to disrupt some of our calendar, our scheduling over the coming months and years, I guess. So interesting. If you're following that, you can tune in to national news and get most of the details, but just wanted to put that on your plate this morning if you haven't been made aware of that. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Is your car or truck in need of repair? Call Atchison Auto Repair. Atchison Auto Repair does it all, from minor to major repairs for diesel, gas, passenger, and commercial vehicles, including semi-trucks. Atchison Auto Repair also sells tires and does mounting, balancing, and diagnoses and corrects electrical problems. Call Hunter Atchison, licensed and insured, at 270-704-6818. Here's what's coming up at the annual Crittenden County Lions Club Fair. Tractor and truck pulls begin at 6 p.m. Saturday, July 25th. 4-H exhibits will be on display for public viewing July 29th through 30th at the Lions Club building at the fairgrounds. On Friday, July 31st, the Lions Club will announce its Ag Hall of Fame inductees at a 7 a.m. breakfast at the club building. There's also a 4-H poultry show at 3:30 p.m., followed by family night at the fairgrounds at 5 p.m. On Saturday, there will be a car show from 9 to 3, followed by the popular Demolition Derby at 7 p.m. on Saturday, August 1st. The Crittenden County Lions Club is a charitable organization that supports many causes, including eyeglasses for those who need them. The Crittenden County Fair is one way the Lions Club gives back to the community by providing family-friendly events.
Well, it's fair season around here. Livingston County held its fair this past week and had some big crowds over the weekend for the Demo Derby and some other activities down there. And of course, it was Sturgis Rally over the past weekend. A lot of motorcycles around, but not as many folks recognized that not as many bikes were coming through Crittenden County. And the main reason is because the Cave and Rock Ferry is closed. And those riders, what they would traditionally do is leave out of the rally compound over at the Sturgis Fairgrounds, and they would make a day trip and circle down into Crittenden County and across the ferry, go back up into Illinois, and then come back around through Shawneetown and just make a big loop back to Sturgis for a day trip, sightseeing, spending money on the road. And of course, the Cave and Rock Ferry has been shut down since June 30th, and we're going to talk a little more in depth about that with our interview here at the end of the program. But first, I want to give you a little update. I talked with the county judge over the weekend, and there is an option on the table, and legislators from both sides of the river have basically given their nod to this idea. The details of the plan have not been released, but it's my understanding that it has something to do with how they can come up with the additional funds right away to meet the ferry owner's demands. He wanted a 47% increase, and the state of Kentucky said 10% is the most that they could go due to its current budget and financial situation. So I think the state of Illinois is offering to ante up a little more on the front end here, and then Kentucky can make that up later once the legislators get into session in the first few weeks of 2027 and start working on the next fiscal year's spending plan, and they could put some more money in and maybe make things right with Illinois at that point. But we're not sure that that can even work. There are some other tenets to that that could change the way that this contract is negotiated over the coming years, which we would all like to see some changes in that, because right now every 2 years it's very problematic. So stay tuned on that. We should know something here this week whether or not this is going to be a viable option, waiting on the folks in Springfield and Frankfort to respond, and we'll keep our fingers crossed. Well, before we go across the river and talk to one of the tourism directors and get a little insight on how this ferry impasse is affecting the folks on the other side of the Ohio River, we're going to talk a little football. Of course, it's that time of year. Rockets are in their preseason training mode. And Saturday they went up to Evansville for just a very large 7-on-7 scrimmage that involved about 20 teams from around the region. And boy, it was hot up there, and really a conditioning opportunity for the team to be out in the elements all day long playing. They started from, got on the field about 9 a.m. and didn't get off till around 3 or 3:30. So, you know, there were a lot of kids who graduated off the Rocket football team last year, including quarterback Quinn Summers, and one of the all-time best receivers, Caden Howard. So there's been some speculation that the Rockets are going to have a down year. But I'll tell you, the cupboard is not empty. I was really impressed with Connor Poindexter, the new first-year quarterback. Of course, he's been the backup to Quinn Summers the last couple of years. And Connor, of course, he's got work to do. He hadn't had a whole lot of JV games under his belt because they haven't played a lot of JV games the last couple of years. Just teams are not having as many kids come out for football, so they're having a lot of these JV games dropped. And these younger guys are not having that proving opportunity in junior varsity, so it's causing them to not get the reps that they need. So it could be a slow process as Connor comes along, but you know, the receiving core is back, and they look really, really good. I'm not going to say we're going to have a great deal of breakaway speed, but some excellent hands. Eli Lavelle, Joel Bumpus, Noah Byford, and Davis Perriman all just really looked in great form this early in the preseason. Lavelle's going to be a great player. He's just a sophomore. Bumpus as well. My prediction is those two guys are going to rewrite some Rocket football records in the coming years. Both of them, again, just sophomores, and really are good football players. So I'm excited after watching this weekend's 7-on-7. They will be playing again over in Princeton at Caldwell County on Tuesday night. If you want to go over and get a glimpse of the Rockets in this passing competition, they will, I think they're going to kick off around 5:30 or 6 p.m. over there, but they will be playing against some teams from around West Kentucky. up in Evansville, the Rockets were 3-3 on the day, won three, lost three, and they played teams mostly from Indiana, Newton, Forest Park, Vincennes, Tecumseh, that school I'd never heard of. It's just north of Evansville, but they played Evansville Harrison, and that game didn't go very well for the Rockets. Harrison had a whole lot of speed, and they really took advantage of the Rockets. But playing in Class 2A for the last year this coming fall for the Rockets, and then they will go back to Class 1A. And I know everybody's somewhat excited about that. It's just a better fit for the Rocket football team at this point in time. We're going to take a short break and come right back and head across the Ohio River.
Are you hungry for slow-cooked, fall-off-the-bone flavor? Stop by Marion Pit Barbecue, a local legend serving up mouth-watering barbecue for over 40 years. From juicy ribs and chicken to our famous pulled pork, Marion Pit Barbecue offers big portions and even bigger value 7 days a week. On Tuesday and Friday, try our loaded smoked potato. Wednesday and Saturday, hickory smoked ribs. And Thursday and Sunday, barbecue chickens. Marion Pit Barbecue, located on South Main Street in Marion. Come hungry, leave happy. Don't forget the sauce.
Well, I have with me this morning by phone, because we can't at least conveniently cross the Ohio River to visit in person. I have with me Stephanie Hayes. She is the director of the Fluorspar Festival over in Southern Illinois. Welcome to the program, Stephanie.
Thank you.
If you would just introduce yourself. I know this is your first year to chair this event, and explain what it is, when it is, and where it is, if you would.
Okay. My name is Stephanie Hayes. I am the chairman of the Fluorspar Festival Committee, and what we are doing is our 62nd year for the Fluorspar Festival this year. It's the second weekend of October, so October 9th, 10th, and 11th. And this also comes with a lot of different events. We have about 40 different events throughout the weekend planned, and we have about 42 vendors at the moment. So mm-hmm. It's going to be pretty big this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is in Rosa Claire. Yeah. We're in Hardin County in Rosa Claire. And this is something that's been taking place in Rosa Claire for 62 years now. Mm-hmm. I took over in February. It was going to be canceled whenever I took it over. And so now I think we may end up being the biggest festival we've had in a lot of years. Mm-hmm. So I've been inviting everyone from all over to come and join us and celebrate our heritage and history of our fluorspar mines. We do have geologists in the area who have been looking at maybe possibly reopening some areas. So it's important to keep the history alive, and so that our younger generations know what our history is in the area, and they can carry that on through generations. So mm-hmm. What we're doing is important. And like you said, it is kind of hard to cross the river at the moment.
it is indeed. And you know, it's not coincidental that Illinois and Kentucky is very much entwined in not only commerce, but in heritage and history. And with the ferry closed, it stifles that ability to interact in whatever fashion. And the historical context of this is that the Illinois Kentucky Fluorspar District, of course, back in the early 1900s, maybe I guess it actually extends back further than that, but it kind of boomed, and these two communities were very much involved with one another. And of course, the ferry has always been a very important lifeline for that, and it being closed now, how is that going to affect how you promote and host this event? Is it going to be a problem?
I think we'll probably see a noticeable impact if it does remain closed. That ferry is just a key connection between Western Kentucky and Hardin County, not only for people making a living because they work over there, but also I have vendors coming from Kentucky. And so now they're going to have to add about another 35-minute drive onto their travel time if the ferry is not opened by that point. So I'm really hoping that they get the negotiations underway and we can get that taken care of. And so if it doesn't, that will definitely impact me. So I'll have to do a lot of advertising on different travel routes and adding time and, you know, stuff like that so that people know.
Yes, it's a very unfortunate situation, and we hope and pray that this is rectified in time for your event. Of course, there's a big event planned for August the 8th here in Marion, Kentucky at the Ben E. Clement Mineral Museum, which is devoted to the heritage and legacy of the fluorspar industry. And it's this is going to be an event to memorialize and recognize and celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Hudson mine disaster and rescue. Of course, it's kind of a obscure event today, but at the time, it was an international response to some miners who were trapped here in a mine down near Salem, Kentucky. And the fortunate thing is that they were all rescued, but it was quite an ordeal. It was, you know, reported on in the major media outlets of the day, and now they're going to stage this celebration on August 8th at the Clement Mineral Museum. And, you know, there would be a lot of people from Southern Illinois come over to this because, like we said, you know, these two distinct areas are connected because of this. The fluorspar industry is only one of those connections, and it the area is renowned for producing at one time 90% of the nation's fluorite during back during World War II anyway, and it's just a key source of zinc and lead and other rare earth elements, which are really making the news these days. And there's, because of that, there's renewed interest in the mining of these elements right now in Southern Illinois and in West Kentucky. So again, I can't describe how important this ferry is to us maintaining this tourist attraction for both communities. I know it's impacting you all greatly too.
Yeah, so, well, I'd like to point out that Rosa Claire actually was the fluorspar capital of the world up until our mine shut down. So that's a very good point that you made. Another point I would like to make is that that ferry goes into Cave and Rock, which is in Hardin County. And I am part of a Hardin County Tourism Committee. And we just had, you know, they just finished their campground there in Cave and Rock. They were trying to bring more tourism in. They just had a festival there that celebrates their history. And I think without the ferry, they're going to see a decline in tourism there. And, you know, we have the Cave and Rock Cave, which has been a major part of our history. And so I think that town is going to really see some decline if we do not get that ferry up and going.
Mm-hmm. And I understand the state park up there north of that, what's it?
Garden of Gods.
Garden of Gods. Yeah, it just slipped my mind. I understand that they're seeing much lower traffic because the ferry is closed down. Just getting some feedback on that recently. Well, I just wanted to bring our folks here up to date and introduce them to the fluorspar festival that's coming up later in the fall that you're helping put on, and also discuss the impact of this ferry. Steffi, I appreciate your time this morning, and we all continue to hope that something gets done. And I'm sure folks over in Southern Illinois are ringing the phones at up in your capital as well as we are. I have been posting some phone numbers on our website, the Crittenden Press website, and in our newspaper and on our Facebook page. So, and I know Jennifer Lane over at the Hardin County Independent has been doing the same. So we want to encourage people to make those calls.
Yes, thank you for having me on. I hope everyone makes a call today so that we can get the ferry back open. And I hope to see everyone the second weekend of October.
Yeah, thank you a lot, Stephanie. I appreciate your time this morning.
And that's going to be a wrap on this morning's program. We'll talk a little later in the week. And until then, just stay cool. How about that? That's your message for the week. Stay cool. This has been Chris Evans reporting for the Crittenden Press.